It's still morning, but it's gonna come in afternoon now. My name is Lennart Johansson, and my co-author is Mats Thorsson, and we work for the MBA in research in Stockholm. In my presentation, I will give you an update on recent development in old age care in Sweden. Then I will show you some results from intervention projects on integrated care, and then finally I will discuss the aging in place policy and its implementation in Sweden. But first, some background. I will walk you through the Swedish system of long-term care. In 1992, Sweden enacted the community care reform, placing the major responsibility on the municipalities, thereby reinforcing its aging-in-place policy. The idea or goal was to integrate healthcare and social services, to deinstitutionalize, to decentralize, and to increase the effectiveness in long-term care services. This slide shows the division of responsibility after the reform. On the left side, you have the 21 counties and regions in Sweden responsible for healthcare and medical care in hospital and outpatient care. This slide also shows on the right side the 290 municipalities we have in Sweden, and they are all responsible for financially responsible for bed blockers in hospital care. Also, municipalities are responsible for providing home help, helping ADL and personal care. They also offer additional services like transportation, food care, meals on wheels, housing adaptations, and so on. Further, the municipalities are also responsible for homeless and assisted devices, day care, and short-term institutional care. And finally, since 1992, the municipalities are responsible for all types of institutional care, including nursing homes, residential care facilities, and group homes for demented people. Now, this slide shows that Sweden has one of the lowest coverage ratio regarding hospital beds in relation to the population. It's lower, for example, in compared to other Nordic countries, Finland, Iceland, Denmark, Norway, lower than UK, and lower than the OECD average. And this was the immediate effect of the community care reform, a rapid decrease of hospital beds. And the reason was that the financial incentive, or maybe the risk of financial penalties if the municipalities did not take on the care, aftercare for people medically treated in the hospital. It started a quick reduction of hospital beds and reduction of number of bed blockers in hospital, and thereby opening the door for the counties to start reducing the number of hospital beds, especially during the 1990s. As a result, we are among those having the lowest coverage rates in, among the OECD countries. But this downsizing of institutional care has continued in recent years, and substantial cuts have been made in municipal institutional care. And this slide shows the development in coverage rates for persons 80 plus regarding home health, municipal institutional care, and hospital beds. The red line is illustrate just what I said, the rapid decrease in the number of beds in municipal institutions during the last two decades. And the blue line shows the rates of persons 80 plus who had home health. And here you can see an increase in coverage ratio from 2001 and onwards. Finally, the green line shows the change in the number of hospital beds. And it's particularly striking considering the increasing number of people 80 plus in the population. To put it short, almost half of the hospital beds and one-fifth of the municipal institutional beds have disappeared from 1993 to 2012. And this was a kind of background to the present situation in long-term care in Sweden, which is dominated by a new problem, namely increasing number of elderly people seeking emergency care. And this slide shows some data from 2012, which indicate the increasing tension in the system. As expected, older people do seek emergency care more often than other groups in the population. In Sweden, the 65-plus group represents 19.4% of the population, and 35% of those emergency care seekers. Further, 50% of all persons admitted to hospital are 65-plus. And we also know that the length of stay is becoming shorter and shorter, and the fact that one-fifth of all elderly patients are readmitted after discharge indicates that many elderly people experience, quote, unfinished, unquote, treatment. In fact, they often readmitted within 10 days. Now, elderly people with complex health problems are particularly vulnerable. Recent data show that many elderly persons, some 13 to 18%, seem to be forced to seek emergency care at hospital and are admitted for health and problems that could have been taken care of in outpatient care. So the debate in Sweden has recently centered around question about inhumane treatment of elderly people and, of course, ineffective use of resources. Much attention has been given to what is called unnecessary hospital visits or admissions, and that elderly people have to seek hospital care, not being provided with the necessary help at home. Some point to the problem that are related to, and perhaps related back to, the point of the return from hospital. All too often, the return home is poorly planned, and the services needed to allow the person to cope at home are lacking. And that creates, of course, frequent readmissions. And in the end, or the result of all these problems, is that families are often overburdened with care and responsibilities. Sometimes if you're looking at the system from outside, you think that it seems that the elder person is being shunted around the system, or juggled around the system, as if nobody cares. Now, what's the reason behind these problems? There has been a lively debate among the professionals, the policymakers, and general publics, and different explanations presented. The healthcare authorities, as usual, put the blame on the municipalities and the rapid reduction in the number of institutional beds. The municipalities, on the other hand, put the blame on, or have pointed to, poor support from primary healthcare, especially GPs, not giving the necessary backup to municipal home nursing and municipal home health services. Moreover, the municipalities say that there aren't enough GPs in the system to provide the medical care needed by elderly people. Then we have the government. They have an alternative explanation of the problems, that healthcare and social services are not able, seems unable to collaborate, resulting in unsafe health ways through the healthcare system and in the inefficient use of resources and lower quality of life for older persons. And this development prompted the Swedish government to launch a massive initiative in 2010 in order to improve the situation for people with complex health problems. The goal was to stimulate integrated care for people with complex health problems with a focus on reducing admissions to hospital care and the use of hospital care, of course. So, defining, when we are talking about people with complex health problems, who are they? What do we mean? It is tricky to define this group. These elderly people have some common characteristics. They need often help around the clock, 7 days a week, both from healthcare and social services. And because of poor health and functional and cognitive limitation, many have difficulty accessing healthcare and social services. Many people take numerous drugs, and many are very dependent on their families. In Sweden, several attempts have been made to define this group. However, so far, no one has been fully successful in capturing the nature of this dynamic group. Indeed, you could talk about different overlapping subgroups of elderly people, subgroups that are also rapidly changing over time and are difficult to monitor in everyday clinical situation. Depending on how you define the group, number of diagnoses, use of service and care, number of drugs taken, you come to a quite different conclusion about the proportion of the elderly population who are in this group. Studies done in our research group suggests that some 20% of people 75 plus have complex health problems. Now, the Swedish government main strategy for improving the situation for people with complex health problems is financial incentives. First, to start in a chronological order, payment the development projects have been provided with earmarked resources to develop models of integrated care. Also, health and social care authorities are nowadays paid when they include patient in a relevant register. For example, the authorities are paid for every person diagnosed with dementia who has registered in the Swedish Dementia Register, for people included in the Senior Alert Register, where data on prevalence on pressure sores, falls, and malnutrition is collected, and finally for people included in the Swedish Palliative Care Register. And recently, this is the most recent type of financial incentives. Performance-related payment system was introduced in the system to reduce hospital admissions and readmissions. Provide financial incentives, remuneration to county council and regions and municipalities for reducing such admissions. And we have also a finally a payment system which is related to and tied to the reduction of inappropriate drug use among elderly. So, then, as I said, in 2010, among those initiatives, the government launched a new wave of grants for local demonstration and developmental projects, and the aim was to stimulate development of integrated care for elderly people with complex health problems. I ask you to note that this was not research funding or grants. It was simply funding of local developmental work. There were over 90 applications, and 19 projects were selected. You see the flags on the Swedish map. And in 2011, the Aging Research Center and Stockholm Gerontology Center was commissioned to carry out a scientific evaluation, which we have done, and presented the results in the spring 2014. And I will tell you a little bit about just one of these projects, which is clearly interesting. I said before that this wasn't a research project, but some had projects had a RCT design. And the study or the project I want to talk about now was carried out in Norrköping, a town with 134,000 inhabitants. The intervention was carried out by a multi-professional team. And the target group was older persons with complex health problems, 200 persons in the intervention, 200 persons in the control group. And the intervention consisted of health check-up at the town's geriatric outpatient clinic, and home visits. And here you can see the results. After 12 months, the intervention group did not differ from the control group in terms of health-related quality of life measured with EQ5D. But the intervention group had fewer admissions to hospital and more visits to outpatient care, used more hours of municipal home care, and more people were transferred to institutional care. After 24 months, 28% of the control group have died, and 18% of the intervention group. In other words, you could say a successful project, but the local politician decided not to implement the project in a local healthcare and social care system for reasons of cost. So, conclusion. The Norrköping project and other developmental projects in Sweden have shown similar results. That is, it is possible to promote aging in place, but to do so, there is something you have to do. The first line of defense, primary health care, must be strengthened to be able to target service and care to all the people with complex health problems, in collaboration, of course, with municipal social care services. And routines and methods must be developed to detect elderly persons at risk in order to provide service and care at the earliest possible stage. And elderly persons with complex health problems should not be expected to go to the doctor or the clinic. Instead, the doctor, nurse, OT, PT must go to the elderly person offering the necessary care at home. And finally, as many of these elderly people are heavily dependent on their families, support to the families must be an integrated part in the support provided to the elderly person. Then, another set of conclusions. What will promoting aging in place this way, as I talked about, imply? What are the consequences? Well, this is something interesting, I think. Improved targeting and proactive approach will result in the identification of more health problems and care service needs. And if we provide elderly people with improved and integrated health care and social services and support, they will live longer. So, this conclusion in turn raises a number of questions. If we find more problems and needs and increase people's lifespan, that is, do the right things right, will it save money or will it increase costs? And do we know what is the right thing for all the people? I mean, the intervention group, as I've talked about, in Norrköping did not have higher quality of life than the control group. Results like this raise both methodological and ethical questions that deserve further scrutiny by researchers, practitioners, and policy makers. Now, finally, some policy reflection. You all well know about the leading policy in long-term care is aging in place. That is, moving service and care to people instead of people to service and care. And providing with an option to get necessary service and care in their own home instead of moving to an institution. A policy that has been embraced by everybody, the elderly, their families, and policymakers all over the world. However, on the basis of the Swedish experiences, one could question whether aging in place has become an alternative forced upon elderly people and their families, rather than an option. That is, research suggests that all people in Sweden are being provided neither with the service and care they need at home or a place in institutional care. An indication of the problem is, as I told you, the fact that elderly people are still queuing up at emergency ward. So is this a symptom of policy failure, or is explained by the inefficient or silo structure system unable to meet, to create a safe pathway and integrated care? Or does it reflect a system which dates 20, 30 years back in time that is inappropriate, outmoded, and poorly adapted to in terms of resources, structures, and competence to meet the need of an aging population, and especially a growing number of people with complex health problems? In our opinion, the bottom line is the necessity to rethink not the aging in place policy in itself, but its implementation and to focus on the growing discrepancies between policy and practice. Thank you.